Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Reporter. Joining us today is Greg Crow, CEO and president of Entree Gold. And the company trades on the Toronto Stock Exchange. The ticker symbol is ETG, as well as on Amex. Ticker symbol is EGI. And the company is an exploration stage company, which is engaged in the exploration of mineral resources and properties located in Mongolia, China, as well as the U.S. Thanks for taking the time to do the update today there, Greg.
No, pleasure to be here, Juan.
Great. Now, start off by talking to us about the most recent and exciting news regarding the Mongolian government and lifting the windfall tax and what that means for Entree.
Yes, essentially, for those of listeners who are not really familiar with the Entree story, we are developing in conjunction with our partner Ivanhoe Mines and Rio Tinto, one of the largest copper gold discoveries of the last several decades in Mongolia. In order to take that project through to production, have to negotiate what is called an investment agreement with the Mongolian government. Those negotiations have been going on for the last two or three years in terms of finalizing it so that we can move forward with respect to the production. What's happened recently is one of the hurdles with respect to finalizing this investment agreement has been the imposition by the Mongolian government of what is called a windfall tax, which is a very onerous tax on copper and gold production. The Mongolian parliament last night, our time, voted to repeal this windfall tax as of 2011, thus paving the way for the investment agreement between Ivanhoe Mines, Rio Tinto, and ourselves and the Mongolian government to be finalized. So it's been very important with respect to our developments in Mongolia, and also what is important is we've seen a major increase in our shareholder value and trading volume just within the last 24 hours.
Yeah, it's certainly some very exciting news. And you also recently finalized the agreement with Honey Badger Exploration.
Yes, in combination with what we're doing in Mongolia, we are also developing potential for other gold, copper deposits elsewhere around the world. We're active in the southwest U.S., in particular in New Mexico and Arizona. But just today we announced that we finalized an agreement on a project in Nevada held by another TSX venture-listed company called Honey Badger Exploration. That project that we're jointly developing now is in the Yerington district of Nevada. It's an area that was mined by Anaconda essentially throughout the early and mid part of last century up until 1978, I think, is when they stopped mining. Honey Badger has a sizable land position just to the west of the old Yerington mine with some very prospective copper gold targets that we are going to be exploring.
Great, and how about China? Any updates on any or any other projects?
China, essentially, we still have the one project in China, which is called the Huaishi in Zhujiang province, which is just to the south of Shanghai. What's interesting about that is we are in partnership with the geological division of the provincial government over there, and we have the right to earn a 78% interest in it by spending $3 million over a four-year period. We have done preliminary work in terms of geochemistry and geophysics. We've outlined some targets, and we hope to be drilling there later this fall. So that is another big copper gold target that we're going to be evaluating.
Great. And so moving on, talk to us about some of the recent trends. I know we did an interview with you last year, so obviously a lot has changed. And how well positioned is Entree Gold to capitalize on some of the emerging trends?
Well, the emerging trends right now are, first of all, I think most people are comfortable with the fact that we are finally pulling out of this recession, which I guess back in December, some people were talking essentially 1930-style depression, but it looks as though it's not going to be as severe as anybody thought. We're coming out of it. We're seeing an increase in development in China in particular. The U.S. is lagging a little bit behind, but they have some other issues that they have to sort out, but I think we are poised to see renewed growth. This is being reflected in commodity prices, in particular if you're looking at copper and gold. Copper is trading at 285, which is quite a healthy level for copper prices in consideration of what's happened over the last few months. And when you compare that to the mid-1990s, where it might have traded at a high of about $1.30. So that's a very nice price, $2.85 for copper. That will mean that a lot of deposits are going to be economic, and we're going to see that continuing on with growth in China and as infrastructure projects come on stream in North America and in Europe as well. The other situation is with respect to gold prices, still remaining very healthy, trading around $950 U.S. Some people are calling out for it to go well over $1,000. Not sure whether I agree with that, but quite frankly, I'm happy with it at the level that it's at right now. It certainly does say that a lot of gold producers are going to be making a nice profit. Entree is very well poised to take advantage of these what are believed to be long-term healthy prospects for commodities prices. We're developing projects that we think could position Entree in the future to be a very significant holder of copper and gold assets around the world.
Great. And so what are some of the other things right now that makes your company unique from some of the other players in the sector?
Well, I think we're unique in the sense that, first of all, we have a portion of what is now officially recognized as the richest copper gold project in the world and possibly becoming one of the largest. We have very senior partners backing our company, both Rio Tinto and Ivanhoe Mines, and plus we have a very healthy treasury. We've got about 46 to 47 million Canadian dollars in our treasury, and we completely control how that money is allocated in terms of how much do we spend on exploration each year, etc. So we have essentially no debt, and we have a very, very strong foundation to our company, and we're poised to move forward. Now, a lot of companies caught in the downturn didn't have the wherewithal to be able to finance. They are running into some financial difficulties. There's a lot of good companies out there that have good assets. Those assets they can't develop because they did not finance, and they're looking for some assistance. So I think there's some unique acquisition opportunities coming up for us as well.
Great. And so talk a little bit about your business model. You know, how important are alliances and partnerships and joint ventures?
Well, the alliances and partnerships are extremely important, in particular with respect to Mongolia. One of the key features of our agreement is that we retain an undivided 20 or 30% interest in our portion of Ivanhoe Mines' Rich Oyu Tolgoi project, and we don't have to finance that through to development. And any monies that are spent any loans that are given for that development, we don't have to repay except out of production from that project. So we don't have to do anything with respect to laying out cash or in development, and our partners certainly have the expertise to be able to develop it. So that's really important.
And how would you describe your relationship with some of the you know, the citizens of some of the places in which you you know, your
Mongolia, I think we have a very good relationship with particularly the local communities which we work with. There are two areas down there. They are called SUMs. They would be akin to maybe counties or townships in the United States. And each little SUM has its own governor. We are in very good relationships. We do a lot of community activities. We've built schools. We've built pharmacies. We've bought ambulances, give money to the school kids, etc., built playgrounds. So we have a very good relationship with them. And in here in the United States, we certainly you know, are working with the local communities that we're working in as well.
Yeah, it's a bit easier here. And so perhaps you could walk us I know we've done several updates with you in the past, but just for some of our listeners that are new to Entree, can you walk us through your background, experience, and that of the key management team?
Yeah, essentially we have a very experienced management team. Myself, I have 2 degrees in geology, been working in the industry for about 30 years, started out working with some major companies. I've worked for several junior companies over the past, and I've been with Entre Gold as the president and CEO for the last 7 years, right from the inception of the company moving forward. The other people that we have on board, one of the senior members that we have, our chairman, is a fellow by the name of James Harris, who is a solicitor here in Vancouver, Canada. We also have as our deputy chairman, Mr. Michael Howard, the Right Honorable Michael Howard. He was formerly the head of the Conservative Party of Great Britain, ran against Tony Blair in the last election. He's stepping aside from politics and wanted to get together with growth companies. He knows some of the senior people at Rio Tinto and also has had dealings with the senior government officials, the president, prime minister in Mongolia. So he's been a real advocate on behalf of Entre with respect to our Mongolian connections. And also we have a on board Peter Meredith, who is the deputy chairman of Ivanhoe Mines. He came on our board when we did a deal with Ivanhoe Mines in late 2004. And we also have on our board of directors a fellow by the name of Mark Bailey, who is the president of a company called Minefinders. They have just successfully gone into commercial production on a gold and silver project in northern Mexico called Dolores. And we have a very experienced person on board as well by the name of Lindsay Bottomer, who was formerly the head manager of Echo Bay Mines here in Vancouver back in the 1980s, 1990s. So a very experienced board moving forward.
Certainly. It sounds very eclectic as well. And what are some of the goals and objectives that you, as the management, hope to accomplish for Entre this year?
Well, this year here, we wish to move forward on developing our acquisition strategy with respect to significant gold and copper projects. We're looking at several opportunities around the world. Yarrington is just one of them. We are also busy drilling off a coal resource in Mongolia on the western portion of our Lookout Hill project, which is 100% owned by Entre. And also, of course, we are following the events very closely in Mongolia as that comes to fruition. And as I mentioned earlier, we hope to be drilling on our China property later this year as well.
Good. And in terms of investors, do you think that investors are beginning to understand the direction and company message?
I think so. We were, shall we say, encumbered by the lack of progress on the investment agreement in Mongolia, and I think our share price suffered because of that. Over the last 2 or 3 years, it's been up and down as the government got closer and then farther away and then closer again to an investment agreement. But now I think that is actually coming to fruition, and I think if you look at what's happened with our stock just within the last 24 hours, I think the investors are starting to see the worth of the story now.
Great. And once again, joining us today is Gregory Crowe, CEO and president of Entre Gold, which trades on Amex, ticker symbol is EGI, as well as the Toronto Stock Exchange, ticker symbol ETG, and is now currently trading at $2.10 a share. And before we conclude, Gregory, what are some of the key reasons why investors should, just to kind of rehash everything, should consider Entre Gold?
Well, first of all, we are a rapidly growing country. We have a strong financial foundation, good partners moving forward. We think that we have been severely undervalued because of the lack of progress with respect to Mongolia. That seems to be clarifying itself. Mongolian government has moved to eliminate a very onerous tax, which now has paved the way forward for a conclusion of an investment agreement. Once that investment agreement is included, is concluded, which looks like it's going to be in the next few weeks, then I think you're just going to see us on the way to a production scenario in Mongolia. And as I said, we're on the acquisition trail as well.
Great. Well, we certainly do look forward to continuing to track your company's growth as well as report on your progress. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to update our investors today.
Okay. Thank you very much, Juan.